This week sees the end of the groups of 40 days of the work. This applies to week 6, raising the think and time to imbibe already. And there is a tendency to think that this is the end of the campaign. We've been running these campaigns now for 7 or 8 years. And the reason we do it is to try and help people's faith and reality in their lives. But it's not just for the 6 weeks or the 7 weeks or the amount of time I'm teaching. What we want people to grasp as we do those things is some good hints and tools to help them make their faith a day-to-day reality. Because people come to me and share all sorts of issues in their lives, and they're looking for help, they're looking always for a magical wand. And sometimes God does miraculous things and it's brilliant. But an awful lot of what we do is just day-to-day routine stuff in our faith that we put into practice that helps us to get to know Him. And these campaigns are all there to help us to do this. And if we don't take the tools that we have given and then put them into action each day of our lives, then in some ways the campaigns don't work. Because it's not just for 6 weeks, it's not to give you a wee boost for 6 weeks, it's to give you something that you can use every day that you would like. You have to do some work in your faith. And God will reward that by blessing you in so many different ways. But it won't just happen, you won't just grow by sitting in a chair, or by hoping, or by wishing. You need to put it into action. And so every campaign has got a different focus and a different idea that God wants you to grasp, that you need to do it. We had workbooks and things, and I was visiting a lady then the last year, and she put her workbook 3 or 4 years ago. She goes, "I still use this all the time because I find it so helpful." And I hope that as you go through these things, you will find it and your faith will become alive for you, will become to every day reality. And it's fascinating for me over the years watching different individuals who have taken and bought some of these things and who have grown in their faith, and you see what a blessing it is in their life. You can see what a change it has made. It's just a wonderful encouragement to me. And at the same time, there are disappointments when I see people who are still struggling with the same issues that they were 20 years ago, and they're still struggling with it today because they haven't embraced some of the tools and some of the blessings that God has placed in their lives. So, but each of us has to go this journey separately. I can only give you hints and ideas. You have to go the journey separately. Somebody said to me, "Well, I love about some of these things is I get an opportunity to sit down with people, look at them straight in the eye, and look at the eye, and ask them personal questions, and I can hear where they are and their journey, and you can share ideas." And that's the whole point of the groups, we can get tips off one another. Someone said to me, one of the groups recently, "You always make it sound so easy and simple." And I hope in one way that I do, but I also hope that you realise that it doesn't just happen like that. And the things that I do in my own personal journey are things that I've worked at over the years, and things that I've picked up. It doesn't just happen overnight, and we're constantly needing to be build up our repertoire of things that we do to help them. And I certainly know that a number of years ago, God said to me very clearly, He said to me, "Michael, you're too busy being a minister, and I want you to get back to me again." Because ultimately that's what it's all about. God wants to get to know you, He wants to get to know me. The things we do are important, and how we live out our service, but first and foremost, He wants a personal relationship with you. And there's no doubt that one of the most important moments in my life was when I realised Jesus died. Not for the world, not for everybody in the congregation, not for the best set, but for me. For me. And that just made me, overwhelmed me in a way that I just wanted to do everything in return because of what He did. He died for me. This is personal. This is personal to me. I do. And 40 Days of the Word has helped us to grow, I hope, most of those who've been engaged. We've been given ideas on how to read the Bible, how to take a verse and do different things with it to understand it. One of the things to do is to picture, imagine yourself in that scene, imagine you as part and parcel of Jesus, when he's feeding the 5,000 or whatever. Another thing we were encouraged to do was to paraphrase it. That means to take a passage and to put it into your own words. Because sometimes it's hard to understand the Bible. So sit down and look at the thing. How would I say that if I was sitting over coffee with a friend? And this week, what we've been asked to do is to personalise it. To personalise it. And that's what I like to do. I always like to personalise the Bible. Because I believe that the Bible is God's love letter. This is a love letter to you. In fact, you read it sometimes, it seems like it's a general thing, or it's very focused on various different things. This is actually a letter to you. It's a love letter to you. God tells you how much he loves you. And so, I want to think of this as for me. I don't think God's interested in you all. But yes, right. But I take it that he's focused on me. But as much as he's focused on me, he's focused on you. How does he do it? Because we can't do that. We focus on one person. I think, how does God do that? I have no idea. But God is God, and I'm not. And he can give you 100% of his attention. And he's giving me 100% of his attention. You see, that's not possible. I know it's not possible. Humanly possible. But it is for God. And so this thing is personal to me. And I have a whole lot of lists. I used to carry around the notebooks and cards with personalised verses from the Bible that I used when I needed them. Now I've got them on the phone because it's easier. And any time I'm struggling, I know where I can go and I can look at a verse to help me in different things. And I want to share with you this morning some of the things that I do to help me on this journey. Now, I'm not saying you do this because you've got to find your own way. I find this helpful, and I know a lot of other people do as well. So, how do I personalise the Bible? Let's just look for an example to begin with. A very well-known, maybe the best-known verse of the whole Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, you take that verse, how do you personalise it? Well, if you were just personalising it, then you would say, for God so loved Michael, right? So I'm putting my name in, you put your name in. Right? That he gave his one and only Son, that if Michael believes in him, Michael shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's a verse. Personalising. Now, if I was to personalise it and paraphrase it, it might read like this. Michael, I love you so much that I sent my only son Jesus to die for you, Michael. But if you put your trust in me, Michael, I will take you to be with me forever. Some of these verses I find quite difficult to read without being very close to them. Because that is what we need. Now let's say you're struggling, you're feeling worthless. You think there's no point in me being here. If suddenly the world woke up tomorrow and I wasn't here, what difference would it make? You're at a low end, right? What's the point of anything? Well, the verse I use for that is this verse in Ephesians 1:4, where it says, long before he laid down the earth foundations, he had us in mind, had settled in us as the focus of his love. So, to personalise that, I would say, Michael, long before I laid down the earth's foundations, I had you in mind, Michael. I had settled on you as the focus of my love. And if I was to go further and paraphrase it, I would say, Michael, you were the first thing that I wanted to create. It was because of you that I decided to make the whole world and universe. I wanted somewhere for you to live, Michael, so that I could share my love for you. And that is what that verse is saying. That verse at the top, that is what it's saying. In slightly different words, but that is what it's saying. That is what God has done and wants to do for you. Let's say you are feeling guilty, you've done something, you've sinned, you're struggling, you're looking for forgiveness. Well, a wonderful passage to deal with that sort of thing is Psalm 51. I've only taken a part of it, you can take a whole time to do this. It's David's prayer for forgiveness in Psalm 51. This is verses 1 and 2. It says, have mercy on me. This is what you would read if you went to the Bible just now. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So if I was personalising that, I would say, have mercy on Michael, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out Michael's transgressions. Wash away all Michael's iniquity and cleanse Michael from sin.
Can you put a name in there? It's something very personal.
And if I was going to paraphrase it, maybe in my own words, I would say, Lord, be kind to Michael, because you love him so much. Take away all the stupid things Michael has thought and done. Lord, make Michael feel like someone very special again. So that's what I pray, that's what I read, when I am feeling just a wee bit that way or die. Now, there's lots of things that happen, lots of emotions in your life, but you don't know what to do. You're looking for guidance, and people will talk to me all the time about what should I do next, how should this happen, or how should that happen. Proverbs is a wonderful book to read and get to know. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, there's a verse that says, or verses that say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct you the paths. So as you personalise that, you read, trust in the Lord, Michael, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your paths. If it was maybe putting that into my own words, I would say, Michael, trust me with every detail of your life. Don't try to do it on your own. Ask me first in all things, and I will guide you and show you what is right. All you're doing is you're looking at the verse and you're thinking, what does that say? Put it into your own words. Don't take the words from the verse, look at what it says and put it into your own words. Trust him. Trust him. Philippians, again, a good verse. If you maybe feel as if you are struggling, you feel you're hitting your head against a brick wall, you can't make progress, nothing has happened. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So you would say, God is working in you, Michael, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You said it may. And then if I was putting it in my own words, I say, Michael, God is always with you, giving you the ideas and the energy and the strength to do what pleases him. And you look at that and it reminds you of God. It gives you the strength, it gives you the power, it helps you as you struggle with things. And if you're feeling under attack, which so often we do, if everything seems to be going against you, if you're needing comfort, if you're needing if you're just needing to rest, if you're feeling, if you're being hurt, if you feel damaged, then Psalm 91, and again, I'm just taking a few verses from some of these Psalms or passages. You can often take a whole passage to do this. If you're struggling in that way, looking for comfort, Psalm 91, verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. imagery of feathers and softness will cover you with his feathers. So, to Peshmerga Michael, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings, Michael, you will find refuge. So you think, then, what does that really say? What does that mean? And if I was putting it into words, then I would say, I'm going to wrap my arms around you, Michael, and protect you. Michael, you will always be safe with me. And sometimes when we feel under attack and we feel damaged and all that, we just don't hear that. Carry these verses around with you. They are words of comfort. They are words of encouragement. This is for you. It's not for the person next to you, this is for you. The Bible's for the whole world, it's for every single person that's ever born, but it's for you as well. And you need to remember that. And the first time this thing, this personalising I came across was over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, and someone did this verse for me. And it really changed my whole outlook. It brought the Bible to me very personally. And it's a passage I love, and I just want to share it with you now. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. It's a beautiful letter to read it and soak in what he's saying. But in the middle of the letter, he breaks off to this wonderful prayer, which is at the time it was written to the church in Ephesus. But what we need to remember the Word of God, remember the Word of God is timeless, it's living, it's alive. That though this letter was written to the church in Ephesus, God's intention was that this is also for you. It's timeless. It travels through the ages, and God speaks to it. And so this person took this passage that says, this, for this reason, and this is Paul writing to them in Ephesus, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So when this person did, he took that passage and he asked me to heal, and then he prayed this over me. He said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, Michael derives his name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen Michael with power through his Spirit in Michael's inner being, so that Christ may dwell in Michael's heart through faith. And I pray that Michael, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and that Michael will know his love that surpasses knowledge, and Michael may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in Michael, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are about to come to the Lord's table. When we come to the Lord's table, this is personal. You say the words, this, Jesus says, this is my body, broken for you. Now, here are the words for you. And I had those words for Jesus. And as the Keith, we used to have 4 week services. What we did was each year, all the services would be one one of the churches, but different ministers or priests who do tend to be there. The first year that we did it in the Episcopal Church, I went to receive communion, we put it forward, and then the priest, Adrian Fallis, who I knew well because all the two we worked together, as I have now to take the bread in mind, said to me, "The body of Christ broken for you." Right. I mean, I'm moved. Suddenly, this became a person. Then he gave me wine shed for you, my God. Nobody had ever spoken the word from that to me before. I finally had to give up. I was so overcome by the reality of what Jesus did for me. This is personal. It's for you. It's not for me. It's not for the person sitting next to you. This is for you. This is God, the God who created all the universe. You created things beyond our imagination. We look at all these nature films and we think, wow, isn't it wonderful? Isn't David Attenborough wonderful for knowing all these things? What about the person who made them? And the universe is beyond anything we can even grasp. This is that God that's coming for you. He sent his son for you because it was the only way. This is God's love letter to you. It's amazing. Thank you for sending such a beautiful letter, a love letter. Lord, I promise to read it every day, to hear words of love for me. Thank you, Lord.